Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
And now it's time for the Sports Kings from Queens.
Welcome to the Sports Kings from Queens, where the football talk is royal, real, and straight from the boroughs. This is the NFL preview show. I'm Gino with my co-hosts Kevin and Darren. Today's Tuesday, August 26th. This is episode 188. So welcome to the gridiron. The scent of fresh-cut grass, the thunder of the pads colliding, and the roar of the crowd can only mean one thing. It's football season. From the biggest upsets to the most anticipated matchups, the betting board is never safe. We're breaking it down. We're officially on the clock, so lace it up, lock it in, and let's ride, because the Kings don't just watch the game, they live it. We are ready to start the NFL preview show. Eagles are the champions from last year, beat Kansas City handily in the Super Bowl. We'll get more into the teams. We're going to go through all the conferences. We're going to start with the AFC in a couple of minutes. Let's just take a couple minutes overview. NFL made some rule changes just so we're all on the same page. Touchbacks move from the 30 to the 35-yard line. First downs are now measured electronically using Sony's Hawkeye technology. I'm sure Darren's a big fan.
Only after the spot, but still, nonetheless. I don't have a problem with it because they're doing it after the spot.
They added more penalties to the replay assist function, so they can go to replay for hitting a defensive player, face mask, horse collar tackles, tripping, running into the kicker, or roughing the kicker. They changed the OT rule. That's the fourth change. Both teams are now guaranteed a possession. It's only a 10-minute period. The first touchdown now in overtime doesn't end the game. In the postseason, both teams will be guaranteed a possession, and there's a 15-minute period. And the fifth rule change, Darren's got to be a big fan of. You are no longer allowed to do the bow and arrow celebration penalty. You can do the bow and arrow. You can do the bow and arrow motion. You just can't aim it at an opponent, and you cannot use a violent gesture in the process. Those are our rule changes.
Gone over is ridiculous.
Those are our rule changes. We'll start it with the AFC. We're going to start off with the Jets. Kev, why don't you start us off?
You know, we've talked a little bit the last few weeks about the Jets and going through training camp and all. I mean, we all know what the deal is this year. This is a reset year. Woody fired everybody last year. They bring in Muji as a general manager. They bring in Aaron Glenn to coach. And the one thing I'll say about Aaron Glenn, you know, Darren, you look back at the last couple of coaching hires, Saleh, Gase, Bowles. To me, they felt like they were happy to be an NFL head coach who happens to be coaching the Jets. Aaron Glenn seems to be thrilled to be a New York Jet head coach. Do you feel the same way, Darren, about that?
He's a Jet. He played most of his career with the Jets. He was a very good Jet. He was in the Hall of Fame, but he was very good. And he wanted this job in the worst possible way. He also seems to be, you know, just a little bit more confident in what he's doing. I won't say that Bowles wasn't, but I will say that Saleh wasn't, and Gase was clueless.
Gase was totally clueless. We know that, yeah. So looking at the team, I mean, it all starts and ends with Justin Fields. We know that. This is Justin Fields' third team now. This is his third chance to prove himself to be an NFL starting quarterback. And the Jets were willing to say, look, we put Aaron Rodgers in the past. 2 years on Aaron Rodgers, I would not have changed signing him. No way you can go back 2 years ago and say that was a bad move. You had to do it at that time. The team was right there. Didn't work. They've gone blown up everything because they, like I said, they need a reset. So you bring in Fields, and there's two ways this team can go. They're going to be decent enough to win six games and wind up with a middling pick, but Fields proves himself to be an NFL quarterback, or they the bed, and they go 1-16 or 2-15, in which case we wind up with a top three pick at worst. And we get the new quarterback, whether it's Arch Manning coming out, whether it's, dare I dream, Lenoris Sellers coming out. But, you know, they'll have the chance to reset a quarterback next year if Fields does not work out. And if Fields doesn't work out, you know what? It's going to be a long season. We know that going in. I mean, I do not have expectations for this Jets team. Unlike, to some degree, last year, 2 years ago, I was psyched when Rodgers came in. This just feels like a much different year for the Jets. Darren, same?
I mean, listen, I always have optimism, but the thing about this team is the holes are glaring and the depth is glaring, all right? The offensive line should be improved, depending on Fashanu and Vera Tucker staying healthy and Membu being what they think he is.
Should be the strength of the team, you think?
Probably the best position on the team. You could argue that. You could argue linebacker. I mean, but there's really – and running back. Those would be the three spots, right? Yep. Okay, so that should be the strength. They should be able to theoretically run the ball. Now what happens is Fields should have man coverage all over the place with, you know, a slightly below elite receiver in Garrett Wilson, but a very good one. But he's not, you know, I can't put him at that level of eliteness, Gino. I don't know if you see something different when you watch. I think he's just a shade below as far as I'm watching when I look at Garrett.
So
but I think he's good.
I think he's a shade below, but I don't know if you're going to see it enough to make that judgment with Fields as your quarterback. Well, that's my only issue. You know, I felt like if you had a healthy Rodgers, you probably would have saw it 2 years ago. We know what happened, but I think that was the path to seeing how good he was. I don't think with Fields as your quarterback, who's going to take off at every sign of trouble, he's going to dance around in the back. Honestly, I don't know how the hell Garrett Wilson after five games is not going to want to slit his throat. But listen, he's here for the long haul. So we know Garrett's here. He's signed. So they locked him up. So he's here. I just don't know you're going to see how good he is with Justin Fields as the quarterback. I mean, that's my only issue right now.
It's not just Fields. It's also the rest of the receiver core because it's below average, to put it kindly.
But, to be honest, the fact that Jacoby Myers is asking for a trade, I would be in on that in a second. And he's not a name that I sit there and say, wow, but he would be a legit number two next to what we have.
He would be.
I hear you, Kev, but Garrett Wilson, 2 years ago, we were talking about being in the top 10.
Yep.
And, you know, wherever you want to put him, 20, 22, wherever you want to put him, I don't think you're going to get an uptick in that number because of Fields as his quarterback. That's my only thing with Garrett Wilson. I think he's crazy talented. Don't get me wrong. I just don't know you're going to see it with Fields, you know?
See, the Jets upside this season is if Justin Fields becomes a really poor man's Lamar Jackson, right? Able to hit open tight ends and able to just kind of do a lot of RPO, right? A lot of run pass option, a lot of rolling out. Able to move the chains. That's a pipe dream, though. I mean, it's like everything has to go right for him to be an average Lamar Jackson, because he hasn't shown it. He hasn't shown that he can run it. He hasn't shown that he can throw across his body. He hasn't shown that he can throw accurately. And that was something that Lamar dealt with early in his career, but Justin's not the same player. So what we need to see is if Justin's going to be able to just make smart decisions with the ball and not turn it over. Able to do that, the Jets can be competitive because the division is weak.
Yes.
Buffalo's great.
And also not take
the very least. Sorry, G.
No, that's right. And also not take sacks. And hopefully Aaron Glenn has stressed this to him, because I mean, six starts last year. He took 16 sacks. You can't take that many sacks. You're killing your team that way.
Yeah, throw the ball away. I mean, the big thing is going to be
exactly, Kev.
The big thing is going to be the development of Mason Taylor. So if you give him a weapon at tight end, because we know last couple of years the Jets tight end room has not been good, and with the running back depth with Hall and Allen and Davis, you might have a chance to use Hall going out wide and split him out at wide receiver, maybe using some of him, getting him into space.
Hall's got to get 65 catches this year for this team to have any chance of being competitive. The defense isn't – I'm sorry, Gino, go ahead.
Is he going to – no, but just to follow up, is he going to see enough time on the field for 65 catches?
Yes.
I mean, because everything I hear
– very much, pal. I think it's going to be right. Braylon Allen and Davis when somebody's a little banged up.
I mean, because everything I hear is that he's at best splitting carries across Allen plus Davis. So
I think there's a splitting carries portion, but I think Breece Hall is going to be in there on the third downs more than likely. And I think you're going to see some two back and the formations with Hall and Allen in there where you do split out Hall. Okay.
This might be the only team all season that runs the one wide receiver, two tight end, two running back. I'm not trying to be funny with that, but we could see that a few times on not a goal line type stand, but on regular third and twos. You know, I mean, and again, we don't know how Taylor's going to be, but the O-line's going to have to be really good for him. Pittsburgh's wasn't very good. That doesn't give the excuse for all the sacks he took, but it didn't help him. But now we have to see if Justin Fields can just be smart with the football, not turn it over, and not take the sacks, like you said, G. On the defensive side of the ball, there's a lot of things to like, okay? The weakness would be safety, okay? Everywhere else, cornerbacks you kind of like, even though you lose a little bit with DJ Reed going away. He wasn't great last year, though. Neither was Sauce. If Sauce doesn't reclaim where he was, the cornerback group as a whole is not good. If Sauce becomes what he was the first two seasons, where he's all pro, then all of a sudden the cornerback group becomes really good. The linebackers were solid last year. I like them. And they finally got a defensive tackle to play alongside Quinnen. I mean, they made two trades at the same day to try to establish this, traded how many ever six-round picks you can find. It doesn't really matter, but they sat there and they filled it up. So now you feel like the defensive line has the outside guys. If JJ can come back and be strong, now it depends on if he is that guy, Kev.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, like I said, especially Glenn with his defensive background. And the Jets' MO has always been last decade plus. You know, I don't care who the head coach is. They've always had a solid defense. It's always been the offense questions. And I don't expect that to change this year. I think the defense is going to play well. And I think the difference is hopefully with the running attack, the Jets can control the ball a little bit, shorten the games a little bit, and this way the defense is not out there 40 minutes a game either. That wears them down how much the last couple of years.
Yeah. The lack of depth on this team is alarming. Sorry,
Jets have one of the easiest schedules in the NFL this year. Their opponent win percentage from last season is the lowest since 2008. So hopefully a little bit of an easier schedule helps this also.
Funniest part about it, G, is everybody else looks at the Jets and say, wow, that's an easy win on our schedule.
Exactly.
No matter where it is. So it's listen, the Jets are going to go anywhere between 4-13 and 7-10, in my opinion. I mean, Kev said 2-15. I don't think it'll be that bad, but it could be. I mean, I think 4-13, 7-10.
If it is 2-15, fine. We know the field is not the answer, and we draft a quarterback.
Last year's 5-12. Do you think they do better than 5-12?
I do, but I don't know if Kev does.
Kev?
If they do, it's a game better.
I haven't been, I think they can get to 7-10. I'm gonna go with that mark.
What let me ask the both of you, what is the mark that you need to see from Justin Field to know if you need to move on from him? Because I mean we just basically said we don't think they're gonna get to 8 wins, so
either 6 or 7 wins, but also not turning the ball over, not taking sacks.
I need to see Justin Fields in the fourth quarter lead this team down for a come-from-behind victory. I need to see at least one of those.
Yep.
Okay. If I think there's any chance of him being anything at all. Listen, do I expect the Jaden Daniels Hail Mary against the Bears? No. I mean, that's fluke. I don't want a lucky play, and I'm not trying to shoot that down.
No, I got you.
I need a 75-yard drive with 3.5 minutes to go down 4 where he's able to get the team down there calmly and lead the team. A, it'll make the team better for the whole season, and B, it'll show me that he can do this, do it in under pressure, and that's what I want to see.
All right. Any other Jet final thoughts before we move on, guys?
I think we covered them, right?
Yep, I think so.
All right.
Rest of the AFC. So we'll start it with the Bills. For me, it starts and ends with Josh Allen. He's got new receivers, Khalil Shakur and Keon Coleman, Josh Palmer, Elijah Moore. Are they going to continue dominating the AFC East? To me, is the question, and does the defense return to the form we saw them play in the beginning of last year? Now that they brought Joey Bosa in, what do you guys think about the Bills?
I think, given this division, there's no reason they can't beat 5-1 in the division. Absolutely no reason. And that gives them, halfway to 10 wins, which is going to be more than enough to win this division. And 10 is lowballing the Bills, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so too, Kev.
Allen, 6-year, $330 million contract, $250 million guaranteed. Whew, big numbers there. They still have Cook in the backfield with them. And so I think they're fine that way. A couple of new wide receiver weapons. The defense, they added, like you said, Bosa, Russo, Shaq Thompson, Tre'Davious White. They drafted Maxwell Hairston. That was probably the one weakness they had, was a little bit of cornerback. And drafting Hairston, they're going to hope that he steps in there. And if he can solidify the back end, I think with the additions they made in the front end, the defense will be fine. I think the Bills are clearly the team to beat in a very weak AFC East.
Yeah, I think Buffalo's a 12 to 13 win team, Gino. I mean, I think 13-4 looks about right to me. Yep. I wouldn't be surprised if they went 6-0 in the league. The biggest weakness for me on this team is safety, probably. And they don't have a number one wide receiver. I mean, that's just what it comes down to. I mean, we've seen Shakur. Keon Coleman is not a blazer, but he's a good possession guy. But they make up for it with Cook, and they have a couple of really good tight ends. O-line is solid. D-line can get pressure. They have a lot of guys to rotate. Tre'Davious White, always injured. So we'll see if that really helps them as much as they're hoping for. And Bosa, same thing. If Bosa could stay healthy, he's a difference maker, but Bosa hasn't stayed healthy.
Yeah.
So those are going to be – even if both of those guys get hurt, Buffalo should walk away with this division without much of a problem.
Okay. Next on the list is Miami. So I say Miami, and every year I say it, the one question I say is, are they going to be healthy? Is Tua going to stay healthy? A-Chain is already dealing with injuries, and they're already dealing with, Tyreek acting up, not acting up. Who the hell knows? They brought in Darren Waller, a tight end, coming out of
retirement. Grant Maria was quickly circumvented for football again here.
And then
the big question is this McDaniels year that he has to do something? This is what it is. If he doesn't win this year, is he out?
I think so. He hasn't done enough.
This is the team with the longest drought of any team in winning a playoff game. So the last time they won was, December 30th, 1999 or 2000, one year or the other. It was right around the millennium. They haven't won a playoff game, which makes me happy. It's fine. Has the shine rubbed off Tua? Is he really a guy that you think can win for you? Is Tariq just a headache, or is he a star? I mean, there are a lot of things, and the O-line is the worst in football right now. Armstead retires, and they really don't do much to replace him. So there's a lot of things about this team, and you mentioned it already, G, with A-Chan. They don't have Wilson or Mostert behind them. I mean, and A-Chan doesn't stay healthy that often, Kev. I mean, it's not an easy team to really think a lot highly of.
They revamped the defense. Mr. Fitzpatrick is back. They shipped out Jalen Ramsey, Javon Holland. So the defense is also in transition again. Kev, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, with the questionable health, especially with Tua and HN. And to me, at some point, Tariq Hill is all about speed. And he's 30, 31-ish. At some point, he's going to lose the speed, in which case he becomes a much, much less effective player. And with the head case he is, you never know what you're going to get with him.
Yeah.
And McDaniel doesn't inspire any confidence.
No, I think that's part of the issue too, Kev.
Yeah, and the one thing is, if you look at grades by position, Miami is thought of as last in offensive line. They're thought of as last in safety. They're thought of as last in corner. I mean, one of the weaker ones in safety. Their front seven is fine on the defensive side of the ball. They have skilled players, but Tua is a hit away, you know, from being hurt. I mean, there's a lot of I mean, I said about every quarterback, but he's had enough concussions where you just worry about it.
Yep.
Especially behind that offensive line. So we'll see what happens.
Unlike other quarterbacks over two, you know, it's one away from career ending at any point here.
Okay. All right. And the last team in the division is the Patriots. Obviously fired Gerard Mayo, brought in Mike Vrabel to be the coach. He brought in Josh McDaniels to be the offensive coordinator, Terrell Williams to be the defensive coordinator. You know, the big question for me is, Where are we in the Drake May development kind of process here? And what are we going to see? They brought in Stephon Diggs to help him. You know, I'm sure Trevion Henderson is going to make an impact on this team. I don't know if he makes an impact week one, but I'm sure he makes an impact somewhere down the road. You know, Ramondre Stevenson, not the healthiest back, not the most consistent back we've seen. So if Henderson's going to come in and give them something, I think it's a big difference. You know,
he was good last year.
Yeah, he was good.
Especially for a rookie. And, you know, like I said, bringing in Diggs will only help. The offensive line was a mess. You know, they're going to hope that Will Campbell can solidify at least one tackle position.
And they brought in Morgan Moses for the other. So they brought in a professional.
Yeah.
Yep. And Bradbury to play center.
Yeah.
And, you know, but like I said, it's all about the offensive line. If they improve over last year with these additions, then it's a big help for May. That's really the big key for him. But it's going to take Vrabel. To me, this is still another – Vrabel's going to come in, bring in his system, his guys, and it's going to take a year or two for Vrabel to put his mark on this team.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Kev.
I mean, is Stephon Diggs a difference maker for this team? Is he someone that becomes that go-to receiver for May, or is he just a headache for them? And does May progress?
Yep.
We saw good things. We saw some not so good things with May.
Defense should be good. I mean, they were pretty good defense last year. We'll see what happens.
It's only going to get better. I mean, they added Harold Landry to rush the passer, which is a nice pickup for them. He followed Vrabel over. And, you know, I think that New England, again, I don't have their ceiling as high as other people. I think their ceiling's maybe 8-9. I don't think they're any better than that. I think they're a 6-11 to 8-9 type team.
Yep.
No, I think that they could finish anywhere from second to third in this division. I think Miami's third or fourth. Jets are third or fourth. And I think that Jets are second, third, or fourth. And I think Miami's the weakest, actually. And I think New England and the Jets will battle for that second spot,
wow,
even though they'll be below 500.
Yep.
I just think that's how weak the division is.
All right. AFC North. So Ravens, Bengals, Browns, Steelers. We know Rodgers is in Pitt. Burrow healthy for Cincinnati. Cleveland a mess, just a mess. Joe Flacco starting a quarterback. The Ravens look like they're ready to come back and have another good year. They were 12-5 last year. What do we think about the AFC North, guys?
I think, you know, with the Ravens, we know how good Lamar Jackson is. Should have won the MVP last year, I think, over Allen. But, you know, I think they want to give it to Allen for a change. To me, the amazing thing is Derrick Henry still rushing for 1,900 yards last year at 30 years old. I thought he was done 4 years ago, and this guy just keeps cranking along. And with his running style, he's going to hit the cliff and fall off dramatically at some point. We just don't know when. As long as he doesn't hit this year, this Ravens team is still going to be tough to beat.
Yeah, I can't see the Ravens losing this division.
No.
Cincinnati's weaknesses in the defensive backfield and on the defensive tackle position really stand out to me. I think they can get a pass rush. They re-signed Hendrickson. Big deal for them. That's important.
Yeah, it is.
Taking that away.
Well, Hendrickson had half the sacks last year. He had 17 and a half. The rest of the team had 18 and a half. So they had to get him in. But he's missed all of training camp, and you know, you don't know how long it's going to take him to get up to speed also.
Absolutely. And Logan Wilson's a nice linebacker. The secondary to me, again, doesn't impress me. O-line, not very good. They've been trying to fix it for years. They just really haven't done it. Listen, Burrow and company are going to be exciting when they get the ball. Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, Chase Brown. The whole unit. Gesicki's a nice tight end for them. I mean, they have so many things to like, but they just don't have enough defense to compete with Baltimore, I don't think.
Yeah, actually, I
don't even think they're going to finish second. I think they're going to finish third. I think Pittsburgh's going to be better than they are.
It's really going to be the young guys they drafted. Shamar Stewart, the edge of Texas A&M, who I think was drafted more for potential than productivity on the field, to be honest.
Yeah, he's got all the attributes, right?
And the second rounder was, of course, the great Demetrius Knight Jr. from the University of South Carolina.
Thank God. Thank God we got that.
Had to get the Gamecock in.
You mentioned the Steelers, Darren. So Aaron Rodgers brought in to be the quarterback. Changed the whole wide receiver corps. Pickens is in Dallas. So now DK Metcalf is there. Brought in Jalen Ramsey, TJ Watt. Obviously on a new deal now. What do you think of the Steelers, Darren?
Well, the thing about the Steelers is going to be the same thing we said about a couple of teams in the AFC East. It's going to come down to that offensive line because it was so bad last year. And right now it's not projected to be much better. Rodgers is not mobile.
We saw that last year.
The thing that, he's 41. I mean, the thing that I bet on is Mike Tomlin. I bet on the fact that this team rushes the passer really, really well. I bet on the fact that they went out there and got two corners that, though they're older, are still really good in Slay and Ramsey. I like what they did there. I mean, I know that they're older, but they kept Joey Porter Jr. as well, so they have the three of them. But, I mean, the Watt-Highsmith combination off the edges, it's a good one. And I think that Pittsburgh will find a way to keep games close and be competitive. And you know what? To be honest with you, I know Warren's a good back. I like what they're doing at running back. I like the bruising kid behind him. Why am I blanking for a second?
Caleb Johnson?
Yeah, Caleb Johnson. I think he takes over. He doesn't even change colors. He goes from Iowa to Pittsburgh. Yep. And he's a bruising type back that I thought was great at Iowa against some pretty good Big Ten defenses. And DK Metcalf becomes less of a headache, even though he's a headache in his own right, than Pickens was. So I do think they actually upgrade there. I think Pittsburgh, again, I don't know if it's enough for the playoffs, but I think that they're going to be the second best team in that division.
Okay. So
they're another team that's going to play a lot of two tight ends, bringing in Jonnu Smith, the team with
Freiermuth. Yep.
So, it's what can they do to protect Rodgers?
That's what it all comes down to.
In Cleveland,
they're just a mess.
Deshaun Watson's out. Flacco's the quarterback. They drafted Dylan Gabriel. They drafted Shedeur Sanders.
Neither one looked today, so one of them is going to get an opportunity as soon as Flacco gets hit because he can't move.
Yep. Mobile quarterback.
The Brown defense is pretty good. Offense, they got issues. They're trying to work out, especially at running back. Is it Jerome Ford?
Judkins,
we don't know because
Judkins
hasn't signed.
The domestic abuse thing, domestic violence, that you just don't know what's going to happen with that. Losing Chubb loses a lot of that offense.
Yeah. Jerry Judy's the number one, and they couldn't wait to run him out of Denver. Njoku's the guy on offense that they're going to have to utilize a lot. He's going to have to be the matchup nightmare. Garrett's still a pain in the ass, great defensive end. Denzel Ward's a really nice cornerback. Got two rookies starting with Schwesinger at linebacker and Graham at defensive tackle. I just think Cleveland has, you're relying on an older quarterback that has kind of been run out of the league multiple times and keeps finding a way. I just don't think that it's enough in a physical division like this.
Okay. AFC South. So we got the Texans, the Colts, the Jaguars, and the Titans. We know the Titans drafted Cam Ward with the number one. The Colts dealing with the failed draft pick of Anthony Richardson is the way I will phrase it at the moment. Going to Daniel Jones as the quarterback. Jacksonville, new head coach, trying to see if they can get anything out of Trevor Lawrence and make him the top 10 quarterback we thought he was going to be. They also brought in two-way star Travis Hunter. And then you got the Texans with CJ Stroud. We'll start with the Texans. Guys, what are your thoughts on the Texans?
Go ahead, Kev.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. Well, listen, Stroud had an up and down year because the offensive line is crap over there. They tried to help him with that, but it really hasn't panned out for him. If he can't get protection, that's a problem. Losing a guy like Tank Dell hurts. Nico Collins is a star. They bring in Christian Kirk to be that other side. Kirk got overpaid to go to Jacksonville, didn't do much. So let's see how he does in Houston, because it may not be much of anything. And then you're sitting there, and now, you know, you don't have Mixon. Chubb has clearly lost a step, and now you're riding Chubb as the running back. So your running game's a little banged up. Your receivers are okay. Your quarterback's got talent, but your O-line sucks. This will be a lot of question marks going on with this offense. I think defensively the team is pretty sound. I mean, I think that they get to the passer with Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. Their ends are really good. And they're okay in the back seven. So I think Houston's a team that's going to be competing for this division.
Yeah, they held opponents to the lowest completion percentage last year, under 59%. They add, Gardner Johnson at safety. They bring back Stingley. You know, they add Sheldon Rankins to the defensive line. So to me, you know, their defense is set. It's going to be the offense. You know, like you mentioned, Darren, the offensive line was bad. They traded Tunsil, who was probably the best lineman, and they bring in, you know,
Robinson,
Lakin Tomlinson. They drafted Ursary from
who was really good, by the way, at Minnesota. He was excellent there.
So, you know, they're going to try to shuffle up the offensive line combination and hope that works, because he was sacked 52 times last year. Way too many sacks.
Part of it is he holds onto the ball too long, but part of it is that Tunsil just didn't have a strong year for him at left tackle either, and they were porous inside. I think they'll be there for the division, though. I think they're going to have a good shot to win it. They'll be one of the two teams, I think.
All right. What do you think about the Colts? Anthony Richardson out, Daniel Jones in. Darren,
I like the Colts.
Go ahead.
I like the Colts. I know I'm the only one. Yep. I think Jonathan Taylor is still a force. I think that the combo of Downs, Pittman, and Pierce is pretty good out there. I think Tyler Warren gives them a kind of a game breaker at tight end. And I think that Mo Alie-Cox has shown what he can do in the red zone. Their O-line is one of the best in football, and it continues to be that. There are a lot of things to like about the Colts offensively. Defense brings in Lou Anarumo. Except the quarterback. The defense brings in Lou Anarumo, okay, from Cincinnati, which I think is an upgrade, okay? The front four is really good. They add Tre'Davious Ward to cornerback. Zaire Franklin's a tackling machine. I think that if Daniel Jones can get out of his own way, hand the ball off, and complete easy completions, I think that this is the I'm picking the Colts to win the South. I think that they have a lot. I love their offensive line, and I think if they can run effectively and utilize Jones on the play action, I think they can win. I think Richardson's mistakes cost them more than Jones's lack of execution will.
I think Jones is horrible.
I know you do.
I thought
Garner was horrible too, and he did this fine last year. So we're going to find out what these guys do when they leave New York.
All right, Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence, Travis. They brought Travis Hunter in. He's going to play opposite Brian Thomas Jr. They got running backs. They got ETN. You know, we don't know which one's going to be the starter or not between him and Bigsby. They overhauled the defense. I actually think Jacksonville could have a decent year. I mean, Liam Cohn's in for Doug Peterson at head coach. That was the Bucs offensive coordinator. Hopefully he's going to bring some new game plans to this offense for Trevor Lawrence. Kev, why don't you tell me what you think about Jacksonville?
You know, it's time to put up or shut up for Trevor Lawrence, too. I mean, you know, let's face it. He's not lived up to expectations as a number one.
Not at all.
He's got the pass catching weapons there. You know, Hunter's going to help out immensely there. But I think, you know, on the defensive side, they're going to need Hunter probably more in the defense, because that secondary is bad. And, you know, I don't know if they've made enough additions on the defense to really bring it up to a good level in the NFL. And, you know, Liam Cohn's another guy that, yeah, United had a nice there in Tampa, but when you've got those wide receivers, a little easier to call some plays when you've got that collection of wide receivers. Let's see what he can do with this team.
Another really bad offensive line for this team. And, and they're not really strong interior defensive line stopping the run. They can get pushed around. I don't love that about them. And, again, Trevor Lawrence has not produced at the level that we all expected. We thought Jacksonville was going to be dominating this division for years.
Yeah.
At least being very competitive. And it just hasn't worked out. You know, I think the cornerback play could be a little bit better than it was last year. I think that the safety play could be a little bit better, too. I think the secondary's improved a little bit. But overall, I just don't like teams that get pushed around up front. And I think Jacksonville will be able to rush the passer, but I think they're going to get pushed around inside in the trenches on both sides. I don't really like them very much in this division.
Okay, and the last team in that division is Tennessee. Cam Ward takes over as quarterback. Drafted him number one, and then Will Levis went down. So Cam Ward is now the quarterback. Any thoughts on the Titans, guys?
Has there ever been a quarterback that's been drafted number one that has been talked about less than Cam Ward? I don't think it's possible.
No, I mean, don't think
this
so.
Guy went number one, and you know, it's almost like you have to reread it just to remember he went number one. And it's not because he's not good, and it's not because of anything except for the fact that there's not a lot of excitement around the Tennessee Titans. And I think Cam Ward will be fine. I think they have a number one wide receiver in Ridley. I think they have a couple of really good running backs. I think adding Tyler Lockett, who always seems to be open, helps. O-line's pretty good. But overall, I think that there's no depth on this team. So they're going to have growing pains from Ward, and then they're going to have to fill in the depth stuff. I think the defense is just okay. I don't think it's great. Kev?
I'm not sold on Ridley as much as you are probably. He did get 1,000 yards last year, but I feel like his best days might be starting to get behind him a little bit. Same thing with Lockett. I think he's a little bit older too now. Mm-hmm. Are they going to be veteran presences for Cam Ward to help him out? Yeah. But I don't know if they have enough offensive weapons to really help him. It's going to be a quiet year for down in Tennessee. And I don't think it's going to be Cam Ward's fault.
I think the defensive line is really good, but the rest of the back seven outside of L'Jarius Sneed is not.
Okay, and then we move to the AFC West. Kansas City Chiefs, Chargers, Raiders, Broncos, Chiefs looking to go back to the Super Bowl again. Chargers, Jim Harbaugh trying to get everything under control over in LA and catapult them from their huge 11-6 last year. Denver, Sean Payton's there. They're trying to make strides. They were 10-7 last year. And then the Raiders bring in Pete Carroll to be – it's like the Hall of Fame coaching division over here. Let's start with Kansas City, guys.
Last memory of this team is getting blown out in the Super Bowl, but I think people forget how good they were during the season. They really had the best record in football. Three Super Bowls in a row. The core of this team is back. Rashee Rice, probably their best receiver, is back. I mean, but we don't know for how long.
Well, he can for be four games, it looks like.
Well, at least, but we don't know when that's going to be and how many games it's going to be. The one thing I look at when I look at this team, they struggled to tackle. They could not protect Mahomes in the Super Bowl. They went out and addressed it with the first-round pick, Josh Simmons. Then they signed Jalen Moore from San Francisco, who hasn't even won the job at right side. He's still behind Jawan Taylor, who apparently played with a torn meniscus last year. But I think the O-line got weaker because they dealt Tooney in order to keep Trey Smith. So overall, they helped the tackle, but I don't think they're as strong as guard. The defense, pretty much everybody's back. It's really going to come down to, you know, if this team is really motivated to get back to that bowl again and after the embarrassing loss in the Super Bowl. That's really what it's going to come down to, in my opinion.
I want to see what you get out of Travis Kelce at this point.
I don't think much. I think you'll get some. I think he's still serviceable for 50 catches. I don't think you get much more than that.
Yeah, it depends on how distracted he is with wedding plans, but that's another story. No, I think, you know, unfortunately, the Chiefs, who a couple of years ago, everybody loved the Chiefs, and I think America's just getting tired of watching them. And I think part of it is a Taylor Swift thing. Part of it is just, you know, as a country, you get sick and tired of watching the same teams win. And what you feel like from the outside looking in is the same team getting calls every week. Whether or not that's true or whether that's just perception, I don't watch enough Chiefs games. Darren, you watch more.
A lot more.
But, you know, to me, I'm tired of the Chiefs. And, you know, by far and away, this is the best division in the AFC.
Yeah, absolutely.
One thing I'll say for the Chiefs is that they have the one of only two likable coaches in this division, because Harbaugh's a prick and Peyton's a prick. I like Pete Carroll. I root for Andy Reid. I'll continue to root for Andy Reid. I don't want to see Jim Harbaugh or Sean Payton ever celebrate anything, because I think they're both assholes, but that's just my take.
All right.
I mean, let's face it. I think this division gets three teams in the playoffs.
I can see I think you could easily have that.
I have that as three teams in the playoffs.
Yep.
All right, so we'll move to the second team, the Chargers. So Harbaugh, year two, Justin Herbert. The change of running backs out, so Amarian Hampton and Najee Harris. Najee Harris right now is injured. By the way, he hadn't missed a game before this year. They traded for him, and now it looks like he's going to miss at least week one, week two. We'll see how that progresses. Amarian Hampton takes over. You know, Ladd McConkey's out there for them. Darren, what do you think about the Chargers?
Listen, they bring Keenan Allen back as well, who's a nice familiar face for Herbert. They have Will Disley, Tyler Conklin. Their old line is really good, and it would have been great had Rashawn Slater not gotten hurt.
Yep.
I mean, because now they move all from right to left tack. I mean, they're still going to be fine, but they would have been excellent, I think. I think that they would have really battled for being the best one up there, best team up there. The defense will be good because it's Harbaugh-led defense. Khalil Mack getting a little long in the tooth, but he's the best pass rusher. Bosa's gone now. He doesn't have that running mate across the other side. Denzel Perryman's a tackling machine. You know, Derwin James is a really good safety, but the secondary to me is only decent. I don't think it's great. I think the Chargers have enough, though. I think they have good coaching. You know, Harbaugh's banned from college, but it doesn't matter because he's allowed to coach in the pros because he's a stand-up guy. You know, I think Omarion Hampton as a rookie running back could be really good if he's able to hold on to the football.
Okay.
And that'll be the key.
Yeah. I mean, you know, with Harbaugh, they're just going to be a solidly coached team.
Absolutely.
And they've got good players all over the place. And, well, second best team in this second best team in the division, maybe.
I have Denver ahead of them, but it's close.
It's real close, yep.
And let's actually move to Denver right now. So Bo Nix, year two, brought in some more weapons. So R.J. Harvey and J.K. Dobbins at running back, brought in Evan Ingram to be a tight end.
I think that's a huge signing for them.
Huge. I agree. You know, Cortland Sutton's basically the big wide receiver out there. I think Evan Ingram really could do a lot of damage underneath if Sutton's going on his high crosses. So.
Yeah, I think Mims and Franklin really have good speed as well.
This team's the defense, though.
Yep.
I mean, you look at Bonito and Cooper with double-digit sacks. You've got Zach Allen and Franklin Myers, who were very good as well, 78 sacks for both of them. And then you look at the back end. You've got Patrick Surtain, the defensive player of the year. You added Barron in the draft, Hufanga in free agency. I mean, this is a defense that's just going to give.
And Dre Greenlaw coming in as well from San Francisco is a nice addition there at linebacker.
Nice addition.
I mean, that's why I give them the nod over the Chargers. But again, Bo Nix, he wasn't good early, and then he came on and became great until that playoff game against Buffalo. I don't think he's as talented as Nix. I think that they'll figure him out a little bit more. But at the same point in time, I think he'll do enough to get this team where they need to go.
Yep.
All right, and the last team is the Raiders. So Antonio Pierce is out. Pete Carroll is now the head coach. He brings in Chip Kelly to be his offensive coordinator. Geno Smith, the quarterback now. They spent a high draft pick on Ashton Jeanty to bring him in. They also brought in Dante Thornton Jr. Not sure how great he's going to be to start right now, but he's definitely there. And, of course, their number one receiver is Jacoby Myers.
Cooper
we're not sure. Amari Cooper.
Matt probably becomes Amari Cooper by default.
But really, their number one receiver is their tight end, Brock Bowers. So.
And the kid Mayer behind them. They really have two excellent tight ends. They drafted them both in the first round. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kev.
No, go for it.
Big key's going to be, you know, the kid from TCU, Jack Beck, who they drafted in the second round. If he steps up and performs, that's the other weapon that they need, a wide receiver.
I think the defense is what holds this team back. I think Max Crosby's fantastic. I think Jermaine Pratt's a nice add. I think Eric Stokes and Jeremy Chinn give a little veteran quality to the secondary. But overall, I don't see enough from this defense where I feel like that they are going to be that good. And I think that, you know, as good as Geno Smith might have been in Seattle, and he might be that way here. I think you have a rookie running back. You don't have a great wide receiver, and the O-line is just okay. So I think that because of the division, if they were in the AFC East, they would be second. And here they're going to finish last.
Yeah.
And that's just unfortunate for Vegas this year. But, I mean, I don't know how many years Pete has left at coaching, but if anybody's going to get something out of this team, it's going to be Pete Carroll.
Okay. All right, we're going to take a pause. We'll come right back, and we'll do the NFC.
We are the Sports Kings from Queens. I'm Darren here with Kevin, here with Gino, talking about the wonderful, wild, and wacky world of sports. A wacky world where we thought we'd do a whole show in 1 hour, and we couldn't do it, so now we're just going to do the AFC first. Please download the podcast anywhere you get a podcast, whether it be an Apple product, Spotify, TuneIn. You know, follow us on YouTube. Follow us anywhere you can. Social media, we post a lot. Like it, share it. Even if you don't like it, tell us you don't like it and share it anyway. And without any further ado, may your sports be with you.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.